Welcome back to Blank Canvas. I'm Diana Sands.
And I'm Douglas Barkey.
And we're in studio with Kachelle Knowles, John Cox, and Christina Wong. So, Christina, tell us a little bit about your role at The Current.
Okay. Most of my role is behind the scenes. So, doing all of the promotion, speaking to our audience, and different ways that we can speak to our audience. And so for Defying Tropicality, we really wanted to target people like what John would have previously spoken about, is people who be able to understand and appreciate the artwork on a more intellectual level. Because the topic can be considered controversial, right? But that is what art is about. It's about conversation. And so we wanted that when people came that they would have been able to have these conversations with the artists. But we also have pretty much like a virtual gallery viewing that will be a part of like our newsletter link. So you can access that through our social media pages. So we have Facebook and Instagram and through our link tree. And if you'd like to follow us, it's at the.current.art. And that's one of the ways that you can be a part of the exhibition and to view it. Because I know some people are out of town. And if you would like to view, you can either send us an email and we can add you to our email list. That way you can keep updated with all of our stuff too. But most of the exhibitions that we will see throughout the year will be promoted through our social media pages and also through the newspapers as well. So that's mostly my role, is just tapping and targeting the audience. And we also will have it promoted on our website. So our website is thecurrent.bahamart.com. You're able to see all of the exhibitions that the past exhibitions and also the ones that will be coming up and those that we would have on view now. So we have we'll have all of the information and bios and artist statements about the 11 strong artists if you'd like to get to know more about them on that platform as well.
Great. Thank you, Christina. I think we'll come back to that in a little bit about just how you do promotion and how that works for the artists. But I've been really curious, Kachelle, the answer you gave to Diana earlier about the difference between male and female portraits, right? Mm-hmm. And you were mentioning that you actually hadn't done that many female portraits. I'm really curious why that is. What is the impetus for that?
I don't really have a main reason per se. I think that, I don't know if it's because I don't have as much female relationships as I would like to have. And I think that it's becoming a little bit more personal for me to illustrate a woman portrait. I would kind of like to delve into like my own self-image first before I kind of get into another woman's image. I feel it's a little bit more sacred for me than doing a portrait of a male. That's the best answer I could give. I'm sorry.
So during the break, we had an interesting discussion because Ms. Knowles here, even though she's not eager to take on the role of capturing the image of a female in her work, she has been the muse for other artists. Tell us a little bit about that. Why is that?
When I was on Hard Times, I I used to be a figure model for a few years for the College of Bahamas, now University, for different private gallery institutions and also private artists. So I've been a lot of muses for different artists in their works, and it's been quite interesting to see myself, because sometimes I'm either like posing for like a photo or I am like in the moment, you know, sitting for 45 to an hour in one position just being captured. And a lot of times I don't get to see the results, especially like immediately. So sometimes I truly forget. And when I see myself, it's a weird experience. It's very weird because it's interesting to see how somebody else sees you. And because you have these thoughts about yourself, especially since so many people have different identities for you. So it's kind of good to see like those different identities sort of pop up in different artists' work.
So of all the works that you had your essence captured in, is there one in particular that you identify with the most?
Oh, that's hard. That's hard. The reason why I say it's hard is because if you have an artist that's very traditional in terms of like their technique, so they capture like how you truly look, like your bumps and your uncomfortable form and all that, then you're like, you have to really sit with it and be like, this is actually me. Versus somebody putting like a more contemporary essence into the work, and you see a sort of different side of yourself, so you can appreciate that other form as well. So I think it's a combination of accepting all illustrations of yourself, and accepting like, okay, even though this person sees you in a different way, you might not see that that's truly you, but that's an essence of yourself, and it's still a real thing. So it's very hard to say like which one was like the true form. I think I just appreciate each of the forms that I see myself in.
Each interpretation, so to speak. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And have you found at all that when seeing yourself drawn or depicted, does it come back then and feed into your own work in any way? I mean, because you are doing figurative work also. Mm-hmm. Do you see a connection between the two at all?
A little bit, because a lot of my works, I do use representations of people that I actually know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes with the subject matter that I have, depending on what I'm talking about, like if I'm talking about homoeroticism or people who are very... homophobic. Mm-hmm. If I'm using a subject matter that this person might not agree with, I might change their features so it doesn't seem as though this person accepts the role that I'm telling in the story. Because not every time people know how to separate the identity of the person in the artwork from the subject matter that's going on. So I try to be very protective of the characters that I'm using in the work to make sure that people don't recognize them, or if they do recognize them, it's somebody that they don't know, or features are changed, just so there's that kind of like separation.
Mm-hmm. I saw a series of your works that was using a portrait, but it's more symbolic in the way you put it together. It's named after months. And so you had, it was a combination of skeletal bones, mm-hmm. fractured, and more like a silhouette, mm-hmm. Also done on kind of a brownish paper, and then a rose sort of emerged out of that figure also. And you said these works speak to the amount of crime and violence occurring in the country and the relationship that black men have with death. In these images, you've combined skulls and bones to symbolize that attachment to the love of death. As it said. So each of these works features that prominent rose. Can you tell us more about that work, its genesis, and kind of the symbolism that's involved, which is quite different than the black portrait, the other portrait you had done on the brown craft paper? They weren't really symbolic. They just were straight up portrait, mm-hmm. but the way you drew them became very important.
Yeah, so that work I did, I call it my death series, or my War of the Roses series. I live in a community where I grew up with a lot of guys through my corner who were very kind of infatuated with love of money, and they had no kind of fear of death. And I use the skulls around the silhouettes. So the silhouettes are basically like people that you cannot identify because they're just so blank. Mm-hmm. But the skulls that are around them in different ways sort of speak to, as you said, speak to that sort of that lack of fear when it comes to death and dying. And the roses kind of sit on the body in different ways to sort of symbolize the way people go to funerals, and they sort of like cast that rose of saying that, you know, this person is gone, this person is no longer here, but the love is still there. So these roses are attached to people who are still caring for these people, who want them to live and who want them to strive. But then, you know, they're wearing these things as sort of like an adornment to say, I do love you and I do appreciate you, but then I also still have a lifestyle that mm-hmm. I'm living, that I'm not going to stop.
Right.
And that
places them at risk.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And then the way that some of the bones are structured also sort of attaches itself to the way slaves were tortured. So I have a piece where there's a rib cage that kind of like is covering his entire mm-hmm. face. A lot of that stuff I reference slave torture devices. And it's interesting that, you know, you don't know where the bones are coming from. So is it like a family member? Is it a friend? Is it somebody that they're taking around as a trophy? You know, someone who they've killed. And then is it self-torture? Is it something that they're putting on themselves? So there's a lot of meaning that I'm putting behind these things. And each of the pieces are named after the month in which the person has died. So it's one, I think one is February 2003, mm-hmm. and one is November, I think 1999. And the other one, I can't remember the day. I think it's March something, something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I tend to do a lot of research when I'm doing my work, because I feel a lot of these things kind of like impact me a lot, and I mm-hmm. want other people to sort of feel these same things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Going back to you, John, I'm curious about, from the curator's point of view, and you're putting these shows together in a commercial space, are there certain subjects that you stay away from, or are you able to present them in a way that makes them appealing or attracting to your potential audience?
Yeah, I mean, we have to be mindful of that, right? It's about finding that balance between what is going to be appropriately provocative for the buyer. I think also, too, we have to just to ask the question to the creators to say, like, where do you imagine this work actually living? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we see the work in the studio, then you see the work in the museum. And then where else does it go? Like, where does it go after that?
Yeah, in your imagination, where you put it.
Do you imagine it in a domestic space? Do you imagine it in a, you know, because a lot of work can be interesting, a lot of, like, murals and that kind of stuff. Like, you go to these big, when you're a big city, you see, like, the foyers or all these big corporate spaces, and they always have these large installations or works mm-hmm. in some of the spaces. And it's interesting to see how some works get positioned there, mm-hmm. right? And, so, I mean, to answer your question is, yes, there's a balance. I mean, you really just don't want to have a bunch of, like, watered-down, you know, elevator music art because it's mm-hmm. cause it's every, you know, artwork that couldn't possibly offend anybody.
Right. And is thereby offensive, I mean, to everyone.
Is thereby highly offensive to the integrity of anybody with a soul. so you have that issue, but then you also, just like, you know, we don't necessarily... You know, it's. I think you have to be. You can pretty much. Artists can do almost anything with mm-hmm. skill. You know, mm-hmm. so you can be. You can be highly provocative and highly critique the system. I think some of the most commercially successful works in history critique the system.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
big time. Mm-hmm. And I think that they inform, they transcend in a symbolic way, what people. Are buying ideologically, mm-hmm. you know? I think right. you want people to still be buying art, not just decorating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. I think that's the thing. If they could start to imagine art as a part of the conversation of the built mm-hmm. environment in which they are a part of, mm-hmm. and in which they want to, you know? I think
it, and have a lasting dialogue with the art, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I go into people's homes and I see beautiful, I mean, strong works that are talking, that are saying something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like it has to not say anything in order for it to be commercially successful. But we do have to, I think when work gets kind of gratuitously provocative is when it's like, right, like yeah. that's as bad as the elevator music.
Yeah, it's the other, right, the flip side of
it's
it.
It's the flip side of the elevator.
You know, that's a great assignment for a art student, which none of my teachers ever gave me. But the idea that you create a work thinking about where it's going to be placed, because mm-hmm. that never happens. You actually you're given an assignment to deal with a topic, a subject, a medium, a technique, but very rarely does someone ask you, you know, create this work to be placed in this location, in a hotel, in someone's home, and so on. That's fantastic. Right. That should be an intro to art.
You know, it's also a funny type of thing, too. It's like where... I mean, maybe it's just me, but, like, I will go places into offices, into people's homes, and I don't need to be, like, judgmental or anything, but you, like, look at the work that's in the space and go, like, and it's, like, a reflection on the person.
Right.
You're just like, wow, like, you have this work. That's actually pretty impressive. Like, this is, you know what I mean? Like, you see people, like, even, like, their getup, like, your outfit is, like, a collage of things that you find important. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, look at somebody and go, like, well, look at this person's belt. Like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
you made a decision to buy that belt. That, you know, your wife didn't tell you to just wear that belt. Mm. Like, you know, like, you actually bought that for yourself because you're an adult male and you can make your own decisions.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break and return to this exciting discussion. But don't forget to tune in to the NAGB's Blank Canvas each Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. on Guardian Talk Radio, or check out our website, nagb.org.bs. Don't forget that we have rental event spaces, and you can view them all on our website. We'll be back in a few minutes.